collection of days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise.
Well, as if you look around, we're kind of a thinner church today. We got a lot of people gone. The pastor's gone today at the NAB Northwest Conference, as well as several other people that went to the conference. What else we got? We got National FFA. Got people gone for that. We got a few of you may not have known. There was a Seahawk game started at 10. I see Brian's here. He must not have known that. The rest of you probably didn't know I was talking this morning. Well, I am, and I appreciate you coming nonetheless. I'm Rod Knopfler. I'm one of the deacons, if you don't know me. I look like I see pretty much all familiar faces. I don't see too many visitors today. The deacons are charged with filling the pulpit when the pastor's not around. Now, that doesn't mean necessarily we have to get up here and talk. That means that we can find somebody to guest speaker and so forth. But we can come up here and talk. And I didn't draw the short straw. I actually volunteered. And I'm wondering that myself, why I did that. But nonetheless, I've had something I've wanted to talk about for a long time. It was probably more appropriate for me to talk about it than the pastor, because he's in the middle of a long sermon, a message with over several weeks. And this can just be a one thing. And let's see if I'll get my first picture up here. That's not it. Praise and worship. I've wanted to talk about praise and worship for a long time. Some of that is because I've wondered about it for a long time. So as a young teenager, I kind of took a trip to church, whichever neighbor was going that way on Sunday, and I spent quite a bit of time in a charismatic church, and a few times some of the things they did scared the heebie-jeebies out of me. And so I kind of wondered why they were doing those kind of things. And so I studied and found out a lot of things. I felt very comfortable with my worship over the years because of that. But it's very conservative. And as time goes on, here at Salt Creek, we kind of change a little bit. And so I would kind of like to talk about that today and go over what we do here, and what it means, and if it's true worship or if it's praise. So, before I get started, you already saw my next picture. This says a story. Betty Jean and I, when we were first married, which would probably be, 5 or 6 years ago? When we were first married, we were stationed at Fort Lewis. And we went to a little church outside of Fort Lewis in the town of Roy. Now, Roy was about 500 people. I guess I don't need to stand by this, do I? Am I good here? Okay. Roy was a little town of about 500 people, and it was right on the edge of Fort Lewis. And there was a place called the Chapel in the Woods. So we would go there, and it was bordered on Fort Lewis, and it was actually in the woods, and it was an old pastor that had a horse camp there, and he would run that in the summertime, and he built himself a little chapel, and it was very small. It was one room, and as you walked in, the offering pail was on a table in the back, and you would sit divided like this, a few chairs on the left, a few chairs on the right, and you would sit down, and the pastor would come in, and he was an old, tall gentleman, about 6'8", and he was skinny as a rail, and he would come in and walk down the center aisle and sit down in a chair just like the rest of us, facing us. So he didn't have a stage, he didn't have a pulpit, he would just sit down, but he was still about a head taller than everybody else when he sat down. He would actually cross his legs, and both feet could sit flat on the floor when he did that. I never could figure that out. Very, very beautiful setting. Behind him, it was all glass. So this would all be glass back here. And beautiful pasture ground, and he had a big 6x6 wooden cross that would sit in the pasture ground. And we could sit and watch and just look out this beautiful setting while he was talking, except the cows would come. And they would kind of congregate behind the pastor and watch us. And they would chew their cud, and they, you know, they bump each other around like this, for jockeying for position. Every once in a while, one of them would back up to the cross and scratch himself. And it was fairly entertaining. I'm not proud to say that I watched the cows more than I listened to the pastor. And I think everybody did. And the pastor would just go on and talk like nothing was going on. I don't know if he knew that was happening or not. But we were all smiling at him, and he was just happy for that. So as I talk today, if I get kind of dragging on like I'm doing right now, you just watch the cows and smile, and we'll all be real good. Let's open in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for giving me this opportunity. Thank you for getting me up here. And I pray that you'll put the words in my mouth and the courage in my legs to deliver a message that you would have me deliver. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, praise and worship. And we'll start with, what is praise? Well, the definition of praise is words that express approval or admiration for somebody's achievements. Pretty simple. And it can be directed towards anyone, including God. And how do we do it? How do we give praise to people? I had people give me praise today. Say, I look nice. Do I look nice? You know, I had a job that I had to wear this suit for 18 years in a row. A suit, not even this, but a suit. I was so tired of that. I haven't worn one in the last 8 years that I've been retired from that job. And now that I put this tie back on, you can see I've grown a couple of inches. But people would compliment me, and which is, I really appreciate that. I just figured I could look good if I didn't sound good. At least you get something out of it. You can compliment people all the time. I would compliment June for the beautiful flowers she would put up here, or the yard work she would do around the building, or Catherine for the work she would do keeping the building clean for us. Those simple things that we don't remember. You can compliment Brian for giving high five to the kids, because they love it. Easy to compliment people. You can give a compliment, a praise to anybody, to include God. So how do we give a compliment to God? I hope we do it every day, all the time. We can tell God how much we appreciate his love for us, how much we get out of the so many things that he gives us, the relationships of each other that he's asked us to have. We can praise God for anything. And I hope we do. So what's worship? And how do we do that? It's a feeling or expression of reverence or adoration to God. Now notice that adoration as opposed to praise, which is admiration. They're two different words. This is adoring God. So it's an expression or feeling of us adoring God. It can only be directed towards God. So if you worship anything else and you're putting anything else in that slot in God in your life, you're wrong. It can only be directed towards the one God. It's all his. Our worship should be directed only to his. We've heard, you know, people worship money, people worship their cars, people worship whatever it is. If God is in their life, that's where their worship should be. It's both an attitude and an act. So it's in here, but it's also out here. And we're going to talk about that. So how do we worship? Well, there's a bunch of ways, a bunch of things we do here, and we'll talk about this morning whether they are worship or not. And they are singing and music. We've done that this morning, haven't we? We call that part of our worship service when John gets up here and directs our music. We clap our hands. I didn't hear that this morning. Our main clapping section over here is gone. So the pastor gets clapping going, and his wife, and we get some clapping going. And so they're kind of gone this morning. Raising our hands. Dance. Boy, we've got some controversy coming, don't we, before this day's over. Kneel or bow. And saying amen. Now, whether these are all worship or not, we're going to talk about it and decide that as a group. I got to keep up with myself here. So, I haven't lost everybody yet, have I? I saw nobody was smiling there, so I figured. Thanks. There you're all back now. Thank you. We're going to start with music. I don't have a lot of words on my slides. I'm not a PowerPoint reader. That's pretty much the limit of my words. But I have a story for you. I am a storyteller. And there was an old farmer. Well, first with music comes in such a variety. It's gone through this church from different styles of music, and it is around the country as well, where we have generational music and difference of opinions. And a wise woman told me one time, that's my wife, that there is no Christian music, there's only Christian lyrics. And I thought about that, not very long, because if she tells me, I just believe it. And that's true. There are only Christian lyrics. What's the music? So there was this farmer. He was an old guy, and he went into the city and was there for the weekend, so he stopped by the city church. It's a big city church, and he went, and when he came home, his wife asked, well, how was it? And he said, well, it was okay. They do things a little different there. And she said, what do you mean, different? Well, they sing praise choruses instead of hymns. She said, praise choruses? What are those? Well, they're kind of like hymns, only a little different. And she said, well, how are they different? He said, well, if I were to say to you, Martha, the cows are in the corn, then that would be a hymn. But if I were to say to you, on the other hand, Martha, 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 oh, Martha, 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 the cows, the big cows, the brown cows, the black cows, the white cows, the black and white cows, the cows, the cows, the cows are in the corn, the corn, the corn, the corn. Then if I was to repeat that whole thing three times, that would be a praise chorus. She said, oh, okay. But it just so happens that same weekend, there was a young Christian, a new Christian, and he had to be in the country. And so he stopped by the country church that weekend, and he went into the country church. And when he got home, his wife said, well, how was it? And he said, well, it was good. They do things a little different. She said, what do you mean different? He said, well, they sing hymns instead of regular songs. And she said, what's a hymn? He says, well, they're kind of like regular songs, just a little different. Well, what do you mean different? Well, he said, well, if I were to say to you, Martha, the cows are in the corn, that would be a regular song. But if I were to say to you, oh, Martha, "Dear Martha, hear thou my cry. Inclinest thine ear to the words of my mouth. Turn thou whole wondrous ear by and by to the righteous, glorious truth. For the way of the animals who can explain, there in their heads is no shadow of sense. Harkest they in God's sun or in his rain, unless from the mild tempting corn they are fenced, yea, those cows in glad bovine rebellious delight have broken free their shackles, their warm pens enskewed. Then, goaded by binions of darkness and night, they all my mild Chilliwack sweet corn chewed. So look to the bright shining day by and by, where all foul corruptions of earth are reborn, where no vicious animals make my soul cry, and no longer I see those foul cows in the corn." And then if I were to sing only verse 1, 3, and 4, and change keys on the last verse, that would be a hymn. And we laugh, but you know something? Have we not been there? So let's break down music. Let's break it down into the lyrics, which are lyrics that honor God, and the tune that gives us an emotional response to the lyrics to help us enjoy our worship. Whoops. That was my music one. I forgot to switch here. And by the way, that's not John and Rebecca or Scott. That's some people we don't know. But they're enjoying music just the same as we would. So Ephesians 5:19 says, "Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord." So, is our music worship? Well, let's run it through this definition test. You remember I read you the definition. Does it provide a feeling of expression, a feeling or expression of reverence and adoration to God? If when you're singing, that's the feeling you get, is an expression of adoration to God, singing those lyrics, to you it is worship. And so it may not be. Maybe for some of you it's just music. To me, some songs I feel really deep about and some I don't. Years ago, we were having a Sunday school togetherness in here, and I think Betty Jean was in charge of it. She was the Sunday school superintendent. And she was doing something up here, birthdays, or you know, all the stuff we do, giving out pens, whatever we do. And I was doing a skit. And so what I did when this was going on is I called several of the prominent men of the church and asked them to come up here. And they did. And I remember a few of the people who it was, but I don't remember most of them. And I had them come up, and they were older gentlemen like me. And they came up. And then I brought Walt Schmidtke up here as the director. So you can tell it was a couple years ago. And I sent them back in the back room and passed out kazoos to them and said, "Come up with a song. So at the end of this, to finish this ceremony we got going up here, I want you to come out here and play a song on your kazoos." And it was just a funny skit. Nothing going to really be to it. In about 5 minutes, we were done, and they all marched out here, and they all lined up right across here. I think there was like four or five of them, and then Walt was down here directing. And they stood up very straight, very formal, played their kazoos, "To God Be the Glory." Who knew? Something so minor, ridiculous, to be funny, we could glorify God. But we did. I remember that song ever since. that incident. And it was beautiful. Kazoos. Who thought? No, we can't replace Brian's horn or anything like that, but the kazoos were beautiful that day. Okay, so let's go to clapping. You know, we're having a hard time getting over that hump of clapping. Now, if you go to camp, everybody's clapping, and we sing songs, and everybody's clapping, having a good time, and now we got a little group over here, and a couple people back here, and I don't know about you right-handed Christians. The left-handed Christians, they got some clapping going over here, but we just can't get past that hump to where we're all doing that. So what's this clapping thing about? Some churches, look at this, they're clapping. They're smiling. What's that about? So why do we do this? Why do we clap? Well, clapping is not mentioned in the New Testament at all. Although I read from a pastor some notes I read online when I was doing study in this, and he thought it was everything but satanic to clap in your church. And I've read from somebody else that it's almost a requirement. What I found when going to the scripture is that it's not in the New Testament at all. It's 9 times in the Old Testament, and almost every time it's for a joyous occasion. 9 times. Joy. Should we have joy here? I don't see anything wrong with that. We also clap for other reasons, though. We clap for people, not just for our music. So we clap for people. We got a Christmas program coming up. You think we're going to clap when the kids get done singing? Absolutely we are. We had just had a baptism. We clapped. Baby dedications. We clap. Somebody does special music. We clap for them. That's a praise. It's okay to praise people. It's okay to praise people. It's okay to praise people in church. It's okay. So we do for joyous occasions. Can we consider it part of our worship? Is it part of your worship? When you're singing and you're singing to God, your lyrics, your Christian lyrics, and you're in that tune mood, is it any different than tapping on your pews? Now, come on, you non-clappers, I know you do it, because I look down the aisle and I see. Even some of you right-handed Christians are tapping or doing this, okay, stomping your foot. Clapping's okay. We can get away with that. So let's run through it. Does it provide a feeling or expression of reverence or admiration to God? If it's any way connected with any other kind of worship, yes, it does for me. If it does for you, then it's considered worship for you. It's okay to do it. It's okay not to do it if it doesn't. But it is okay to do it. Now we're getting into some more serious stuff here. Oh, man, look at this. Raising our hands. So what is that about? What does that mean? Can you do that? Can we raise hands in church? I didn't see any rules that said we couldn't. Lift your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. Oh, guess what? I just found a rule that said we can. So when you lift your hands, what is it? What does that mean when you're lifting your hands? I don't usually do this, so don't take pictures. When you lift your hands in church, it means you're opening yourself to God. You're surrendering to Him. We have a habit of doing it into the air. And why do we do that? Why do we lift our hands up? Because that's where we visualize God to be. We visualize God to be on a bit higher and a different plane than us, and that's where we visualize Him to be. But I want to tell you something. It's okay because God is everywhere, not just here. So you people that do this, that's okay. You can do this. You don't have to do this. So people are a little hesitant to do that, to lift your hands. I know. I am. There's a lot of people that practice that. I'm not one that, if you're lifting your hands next to me, that I want to move away because people are watching. It's okay to do that. Where it came from is it was brought to the modern church through the charismatic movement, And so people seem to get this thing that they think if they're going to raise their hands, that they're practicing charismatic theology. And that's what people think. If that were the case, every time we kneel down, we'd be accused of practicing Catholicism. So that's not the case at all. So let's run it through the definition test. I got to keep an eye on my time, and I can't see the clock, but the game will be over when I'm done anyway. Sorry, Brian. Does it provide a feeling of expression or reverence to God? If it does for you, it's worship for you. That's wonderful. If it doesn't for you, then that's fine too. But it's okay. It's okay if we do it in here. We can have a mixed crowd. And now you thought that was serious. We're getting into dance. Now, dance in other countries, yes, Scott was woo-wooing over here. We see Scott dancing every week up here. And I am envious that he gets into his music so much and into his worship. So, dance is usually an emotional response. It is for many people. And as the picture shows here, in other countries, it's practiced so much more than it is in this country. Different than we think of dance here. But dance in worship and dance in a secular point of view are different. And we'll talk a little bit about how they're different. But Psalm 149:3, let them praise his name with dancing and make music to him with tambourine and harp. It's an emotional response to what we're doing, and we're getting into our worship. And it's okay as far as part of your worship. The Bible speaks of dance on different occasions. Some of it's honoring to God and some of it's not. Everyone seems to have their own opinion on dancing, whether it be in worship or not. And sometimes we link the two. The Bible doesn't direct your opinion on dancing or what you should think. It only gives you examples of when it's been used. And many times in the Bible, it's been used for worship. I've had people tell me that they don't like dancing, or they don't want to be very cautious of dancing because between a man and a woman, it's provocative when they're too close. And most of the dancing I'm familiar with is by yourself or at least at a distance. But I don't really want to talk about secular dancing. What I do want to caution everybody for is that if dancing is your worship in here, and if you look over here at any day when we're singing music, I'm rocking back and forth, so guilty. I'm guilty of dancing in church, and shame on me, but guess what? That means I'm having a good time. I'm enjoying it. And you can believe what you want in church or out of church, but just don't take your beliefs or your opinions and try to find a scripture to hide them under and say that that's what it should be. Leave the scripture out of it. God's not telling you what to believe. It's up to you. Oh, I don't. There we go. Kneeling before the cross. Now, we've kind of made a little bit of a habit we come up here and kneel down. We did that for like 4 Sundays in a row there for a while. Now, every once in a while we do it, we come up here and we'll kneel. And we're kneeling before the cross. And is that worship to us? What is it? To me, it's humbling myself before the empty cross. I never could figure out why we had Christ on a cross. And a lot of Catholic churches have Christ on the cross. To me, that's very sad, but what is very happy for me is Christ not on the cross. So that's where I want to come up and kneel and praise God that Christ is no longer on the cross. He's in heaven with him. Psalm 95:6. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. So kneeling, is that part of worship for us? Well, let's run it through the definition test. Does it provide a feeling of or expression of reverence or admiration to God? It does to me. It's very humbling to me. If it does to you, I would say that's part of your worship. If it doesn't, if it's a motion for you to come up here and kneel down and just think about your sore knees while you're doing it the whole time and not thinking of God, then it's an action. It's not worship to you. There's one other thing that we do here. We say amen sometimes. So I don't know, who said amen to me back? You don't have to raise your hand. Oh, is that Rick? Oh, somebody. So somebody said amen. That's great. What is amen? Is it a form of worship? Well, no, I don't believe so. But what it is, it's an opportunity to correspond with the pulpit and the congregation. Now, do you know how boring it'd be up here every Sunday just to sit here and talk and have you all looking up this way? Now, see, I got an advantage because I wore my other glasses, so you just all look like a bunch of mushrooms out there to me anyway. So it's not really bothering me, but Pastor David can see. So some correspondence is really good. I'm sure he appreciates that. We say amen after we pray. We did this morning after we read scripture. After there's a comment that we agree with, it's an affirmation. We can agree with something. And it just allows the interaction. I don't really consider it a form of worship for me at all. I just consider it corresponding with the pulpit and the congregation. But what it does is it leads into learning of God. And listening to our pastor when he's up here. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. This is really similar to, I think it was Ephesians 5:19 that we talked about in music. Real similar. So, I believe that listening to our sermon, beyond us coming up here and playing music, our worship goes into our sermon, and that's part of our worship. Learning of God, adoring the Word of God, knowing what God would have us do, what He wants us to do, what He wants us to be, is part of our worship. So I think it's a step beyond what most people believe. We're not worshiping God if we spend time worrying about what the other people are doing around us. So if I'm worrying that they're clapping over here and I don't want to be part of that, or if I'm worrying about they're raising their hands or even saying amen or anything else, I'm not enjoying my worship. I have to get over that. I have to not worry about that. I have to understand that you can all worship your own way. I can sit right next to you and I can worship my own way as well. Thank you. Thank you. We're not worshiping if we don't enjoy each other. God's given us each other. And He's commanded us to love each other. And we're not worshiping if we do not do what He asks us to do. We're going to worship Him by doing what He asks us to do and how He wants us to be. We're going to worship God. We're worshiping God if we're enjoying all the things that He's given us. Anybody look out and see what a beautiful day it is out there today? It was cold this morning, but man, what a nice day it's going to be. How do we get that in October? God's smiling on us. He's given it to us today. So If we don't come together in our church and enjoy each other and worship together, and granted, we can do that other places, but we can get our worship here together. There they are. They're still paying attention. And all your smiles are back. We're not worshiping if we're busy watching the cows and not directing our reverence or adoration to God. If we're just busy looking at the scenery and not paying attention to what God has for us or what He wants for us, we're not in worship. And that's why we come here, to enjoy each other and to worship. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this time and for bringing us together. And we ask that you would be with all those that are at the conference, that you're giving them good fellowship today, giving them knowledge and beautiful sunshine as well over there. And we just ask that you would take us from this place today and help us to continue our worship as we leave this place. It doesn't need to stop here. That you are in our hearts, you are in our minds, you are with us always to help us to worship, help us to enjoy each other, to teach and to learn from each other. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Will you stand together with me? And as we close this morning, we're going to sing just a simple chorus. And now we're going to be thinking about the brown cow all day. The cow, the brown cow. We're going to sing, Lord, Make Me Like You, and we'll do it twice this morning.
Lord, make me like you. Please make me like you. You are a servant. Make me one new. Oh, Lord, I am willing to what you must do to make me like you, Lord. Just make me like you. Lord, make me like you. Please make me like you. You are a servant. Make me one new. Oh, Lord, I am willing to what you must do to make me like.
And before I dismiss everybody, I just want you to let you know there will be people up here to pray with you. If you would like to pray with them, if you'd like to know more about Christ, if you'd like to know more about your worship, if you have issues that you'd like somebody to pray with you, or if you'd just like to sit for a minute and have somebody pray over you, please feel free to come forward. Father, we thank you so much for this morning. We ask that you would keep us on a worship plane. Keep it in our hearts. Keep it in our minds. Help us to remember that it's not only an attitude, but it's an action. It's an action that so many outside of this building need to see us performing every day, that to know that we love you. We just ask that you would take us from this place and let us be your example. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.